So now we will do the translations and explanations of chapter 8. Entitled Attaining the Supreme, verses 1 through 7, Krishna answers 8 questions of Arjuna. Arjuna inquired, O my Lord, O Supreme Person, what is Brahman? What is the Self? What are fruitive activities? What is this material manifestation? And what are the demigods? Please explain this to me. Who is the Lord of Sacrifice? And how does he live in the body? O Madhusudana, and how can those engaged in devotional service know you at the time of death? So that final question, that's the most important of all the ones. They're all important, but that final question, how can those engaged in devotional service know you at the time of death? Because that one also applies to you and me. That's us. Arjuna is asking for us. Text number 3. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, the indestructible, transcendental living entity is called Brahman, and its eternal nature is called Adhyatma, the Self. So that's the first question. What is Brahman? It is the indestructible, transcendental living entity. Next question. Action pertaining to the development of the material bodies of the living entities is called karma, or fruitive activities. So that's very good definition Prabhupada is, or Krishna is giving. It's action, but what's it doing? It's producing future material bodies. Those bodies may be better bodies or worse bodies. So that's karma, or fruitive activities. You're doing things, and their fruit will be a different kind of material body. There are 8 million forms of bodies lower than human. And there are forms above human, demigod, rishis, like that. So you're either getting a better material body or a more degraded one. That's karma. Text 4. O best of the embodied beings, the physical nature, which is constantly changing, is called adibhuta, the material manifestation. The universal form of the Lord, which includes all the demigods, like those of the sun and moon, is called adidaiva. So this is how to understand the demigods. There is this universal form of the Lord, and the demigods are the different limbs of this universal form, meaning the relationship between the Supreme Lord and the demigods is one of master and servant. The demigods are also servants, and they're also devotees. Why are they devotees? Because they recognize that God, Narayan or Krishna, is the Supreme. That qualifies them for being devotees. But they are not pure devotees. They are called Sakama devotees. They're devotees, but at the same time, they have a material desire. Krishna fulfills that material desire by giving them a responsible position in his material government. So Narayan or Krishna is the supreme chief. The demigods are his assistants. Just like a president or a king has many ministers and assistants to help him govern, so Narayan or Krishna has the demigods to assist him in managing the universal affairs. Let us go on. And I, the Supreme Lord, represented as the Supersoul in the heart of every embodied being, am called Adi Yajna, the Lord of Sacrifice. So in chapter 3, in verse number 9, why don't you go now to chapter 3, verse 9, and find that verse. That will help us to understand this, Lord. What do you got there? Read the translation. So work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be, so it's mandatory. Go ahead. Yes, otherwise work causes bondage. Remember when he defined karma, meaning action which is going to give you another material body. That's what it means to be bound up. But when you do acts, and what was the first sentence? Work done as a sacrifice. When you do work that's done as a sacrifice for Vishnu, that's not karma. That you don't get that same thing. That kind of action frees you from material. Read the translation again to 3:9. Otherwise, so when you work for Vishnu, there's no bondage. Work done for Vishnu is liberating. Work not done for Vishnu, that's bondage. Continue with the translation. Yes, sang siddhir hari toshanam, in the words of the Srimad Bhagavatam first canto. The goal of work, hari toshanam, satisfying God. Hari toshanam. That is perfection. If you do anything and it is satisfactory to God, that is your perfection. Okay, let's go back now to chapter 8. So Krishna is saying, I am Adi Yajna, I am the Lord of sacrifice, and I'm dwelling in the heart. All right, text number 5. And whoever at the end of life quits the body, remembering me alone, at once attains my nature. Of this there is no doubt. Now there's several things here that are significant. So the final exam is death for everybody. Everything we're doing in this life will all be tested at the moment of death. Remembering me alone, that's not so easy. Because at time of death, desires, remembrances are all going to come into play. And whatever kind of consciousness I have been fostering, that is going to take prominence at the time of death. That's why we do sadhana, or our daily practice. Just like I'm teaching you guitar. Are you practicing? All right. So, just like a musician or an athlete has to practice, so the devotee, the sadhaka, has to practice. He has to practice hearing and chanting every day. That is a must. Every day the devotee has to practice hearing and chanting about Krishna. Why? So that at the time of death, that hearing and chanting will have accumulated to such an extent that at the time of death, one can remember Krishna. Case in point. Last 12 days I was in New Jersey. My wife picked me up at the airport at 10 o'clock at night. On the way home, we were stopped at a traffic light. All of a sudden, boom! A car rear-ended us. Immediately, Hare Krishna! We passed the test. Nobody was hurt. Both the cars were totaled. But we passed the test. We remembered, because that could have been the end. There could have been oncoming traffic. Because the car hit us and we went into the other lane, but there was no cars coming. But the test was, could we remember Krishna? So that is for everyone. And unless I'm practicing to remember Krishna, I can't expect to remember Krishna at the time of death. So many people They read something like this, and they think that they can cheat God. Oh, all I got to do is remember at the time of death? Good. Let me go on with my play. Let me go on with my merrymaking. At the time of death, I'll think of Krishna. Good luck. They'll be lucky if they can even remember this much of Krishna. But people think like that. They read this and they go, oh, it's that easy? Then why I got... No. You must practice now. You have to start practicing now. Let's go to text number 6. Whatever state of being one remembers when one quits the body, O son of Kunti, that state he or she will attain without fail. So everybody in this world is developing a kind of consciousness. That consciousness is accumulated by all the thoughts, words, and deeds of one's life. Everybody is developing a kind of consciousness. So we may pretend to be a human being, but many people are developing an animalistic consciousness. Therefore, in their next life, they become an animal. Many people are simply developing a human consciousness. Therefore, in their next life, they'll come back as a human. Some people are developing a godly consciousness. Their next life, they'll be godly or demigod. But those who are devotees, those who are developing devotional consciousness, they go to Krishna. Now, there was one point, let's go back to verse number 5, because there was one point that I forgot to emphasize. So Krishna is saying, if you can remember me alone at the time of death, you will attain my nature. That doesn't mean that you become God. You attain my nature. Krishna is not saying, you become me. He's saying, you attain my nature. There's a difference. To attain Krishna's nature is not the same as becoming Krishna. The Mayavad thinks, yes, I will become God. But the devotee knows, no. We will attain Krishna's nature. What is Krishna's nature? Sat, Chit, Ananda, Vigraha. That's the key word. You will have a form, a spiritual body, eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. That's what you'll achieve by thinking of Krishna alone. Not that you'll become Krishna, not that you'll become one with Krishna or merge with Krishna. No, you will attain your original spiritual body, which is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. Let's go now to text 6. Whatever state of being one remembers when one quits the body, O son of Kunti, that state he or she will attain without fail. So I'm sure you know, I know, there are many people in this world, all they think about is sex. Their next life, pigeon. They'll have sex so many times in an hour. Because that's the kind of consciousness they're developing. There are people, all they think about is eating. All right, next life, become a hog. Eat nicely. As much as you like. There are many people, all they want to do is sleep. Become a bear. Everyone is developing a kind of consciousness. And that will determine the next life. Some people, they're attached to their cats and dogs. All right. Become attached to your cat and dog. You can become a cat or dog. Krishna is giving everyone free will. Do as you like. Spoil your human life. Become attached to whatever you like. But be careful. Whatever you become attached to, That's what you are going to become. When I was a little boy, before knowing about Krishna, I was 6, 7 years old. I saw a movie, Pinocchio. And in that cartoon, these evil persons, they captured all these young boys and they created an island. And the boys were allowed unlimited sense gratification. No school, no rules, eat cake and ice cream and soda all day long and smoke cigarettes and cigars, play, and little by little, they turned into jackasses. Very good. Because that's exactly what is happening to the conditioned soul. You want to enjoy unrestricted sense gratification, then become a jackass. That's exactly what is happening in this material world. So don't become a jackass. Control the senses, surrender to Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Verse number 7, I told you this is one of my favorite verses. Therefore, so now comes a conclusion. He has been saying many things, now the conclusion. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna. Notice what Krishna is saying here. Think of me in the form of Krishna. That means Krishna wants us to think of him in terms of his spiritual body, not formless. Think of me in the form of Krishna. That's why we have deities. That's why we have pictures. We are meant to meditate on the form of Krishna, the body. Now comes the hard part. And at the same time, carry out your prescribed duty of fighting. So Arjuna's duty was to fight. We are not asked to do the same thing as Arjuna, but we are also fighting. We are fighting ignorance. We are fighting gross materialism, the jackass policy. We are fighting atheism, godlessness. That's what we're fighting, Kali. We are fighting, just like Arjuna. At the same time, think of Krishna. So whether I'm a housewife, a lawyer, a priest, a student, a worker, president, doesn't matter. But whatever your duty is, think of Krishna. And unless one chants Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it is not possible to think of Krishna. Therefore, we get up early and fix our mind on Krishna right away before the modes of nature come in and take over. Therefore, first thing in the morning, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, to fight against the powerful material energy trying to take over possession. All right, so now the next section. So that was the first section of this chapter. Next section, attaining the supreme, verses 8 through 15. One who meditates on me as the supreme personality of Godhead, mind constantly engaged in remembering of me, undeviated from the path, O Partha, is sure to reach me. This verse is telling us the price you have to pay to go to the kingdom of God. It's not cheap. Anything worth achieving, there has to be sacrifice. So here is what it takes to go back to the kingdom of God. Back. Back means we were once there. Now we're trying to go back. So, the mind constantly engaged in remembering Krishna, undeviated. So that's what it takes. Number 9. Now in the next verse, Krishna is telling us how we should meditate on him. What should be the kind of meditation? One should meditate upon the Supreme Person as the one who knows everything. So we say God is omniscient. He knows everything. He who is the oldest, who is the controller, who is smaller than the smallest, who is the maintainer of everything, who is beyond all material conception. There's a name, Adhokshaja. Everyone can say Adhokshaja. Nobody can say it besides JD? Adhokshaja, yes. He is beyond material conception. Who is inconceivable? That's Achintya. Everyone say. Good. And who is always a person. That's a very important point. He is always a person. Not sometimes a person. That's what Mayavadis think. God is sometimes a person, but ultimately impersonal. No, he's always a person. He is luminous like the sun. Arjuna saw that on the battle of Kurukshetra. He saw the universal form, and it was like seeing hundreds and thousands of suns risen in the sky at the same time. We can barely look at one sun. It's very difficult. Hundreds and thousands. That's how effulgent. He is transcendental beyond this material nature. Even when God comes to this material world, still he is transcendental, untouched. Number 10. One who, at the time of death, fixes the life air between the eyebrows, and by the strength of yoga, with an undeviating mind, engages in remembering the Supreme Lord in full devotion, will certainly attain to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the key word, in full devotion, bhaktya. That is the key. That is the secret of success, devotion. God is not interested in anything other than our devotion. Everything else is ephemeral. Everything else is non-essential. We will learn that in chapter 9. In chapter 9, in one verse, he will twice repeat it, bhakti. He is not eating anything from us other than our bhakti. Nothing else he wants. Number 11. Persons who are learned in the Vedas, who utter Omkar, and who are great sages in the renounced order, enter into Brahman. Desiring such perfection, one practices celibacy. I shall now briefly explain to you this process by which one may attain salvation. Text 12. The yogic situation is that of detachment from all sensual engagements. So regardless of the yoga, there are many types of yogas. Jnana yoga, Raja yoga, Kriya yoga, Hatha yoga, Jnana yoga, Karma yoga, Bhakti yoga, but they all have this. Detachment from sensual engagements. So any of these, what I call Hollywood yogas, they are now very trendy, like 7-Elevens. Unless they are teaching detachment from sensual enjoyment, everyone's being cheated in the name of so-called Hollywood yoga. This must be taught. Detachment from all sensual engagements. But I think in many cases, they're thinking yoga is how to get better sensual engagements. That's not yoga. that is bhoga. Real yoga is detachment from sensual engagements, closing all the doors of the senses and fixing the mind on the heart and the life air at the top of the head. One establishes himself in yoga. After being situated in this yoga practice and vibrating the sacred syllable, Om, the supreme combination of letters. Yes, it's actually three letters. A, U, M. So A stands for Krishna. U stands for Radharani. And M stands for the Jivas, the living entities. Together, this constitutes the Absolute Truth. Radha, Krishna, and the living entities. The supreme combination of letters, Aum. If one thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and quits the body, he or she will certainly reach the spiritual planets. We know that there are material planets. But according to Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, there are spiritual, transcendental planets. Here is how you do it. You vibrate Om and you think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Both must be there. If it's impersonal, then you will not achieve the spiritual planets. For one who always remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain, O son of Pritha, because of constant engagement in devotional service. So here Krishna is saying, I'm easy. Easy if you can do, always remember me without deviation. That's not so easy. He's easy to obtain if you can do remembrance without deviation. That. Number 15. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion, we call them bhakti yogis, yogis in devotion. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries. Now here is the statement by Krishna. Krishna is the creator of this material world. He's the manufacturer. He is saying this world is full of miseries. When you buy a car, there's an owner's manual. The manufacturer knows everything about the car. And sometimes even they have what is called a recall. Because the manufacturer knows, oh, we made a mistake here. So the manufacturer knows everything about the car or the computer or a microphone or whatever you buy. The manufacturer knows the ins and outs. The manufacturer of this world, Krishna says, it's full of miseries. So anyone who doesn't think so, you should take advice from the manufacturer. He says it's full of miseries and it's temporary. But if you attain Krishna, you don't have to return to this temporary world of miseries. That is the message of this movement. What is the name of our magazine? Back to Godhead. That's our whole movement. Our whole movement is we're inviting people back to where they originally come from. Back to Godhead. That's what we're offering. We're not offering anything else. You want to go back to Godhead? Here is the proper place. Book your ticket. You want to go to India or some foreign country, you book your ticket, you may need a visa. Your visa is your initiation. And this movement is the cruise to take you back, back to Godhead. So you have to do this process of Krishna consciousness. Specifically, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now, verses 16 to 22, Krishna compares the two natures. So, JD, from your previous classes, what are the two natures? You have learned your lessons well. Very good. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. So this is the second time now Krishna has asserted that this material world is misery. Okay? And here he's saying whether it's the top or the lowest, they're all miserable. Wherein repeated birth and death takes place. And that's one of the biggest miseries. One of the biggest miseries is this repeated birth and death. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. That gives us so much hope. All we have to do is make it there, and we won't come back again. 17. By human calculation, 1,000 ages taken together form the duration of Brahma's one day. And such also is the duration of his night. At the beginning of Brahma's day, all living entities become manifest from the unmanifest state. And thereafter, when the night falls, they are merged into non-manifest again. So that non-manifest stage means when the material creation is all wound up, those who are not fit to go to the kingdom of God have to go somewhere. They enter the body of Mahavishnu and sleep for a long time. Then when Mahavishnu exhales, all the living entities again take their births in the material world and pick up from where they left off. Again and again, when Brahma's day arrives, all living entities come into being. And with the arrival of Brahma's night, they are helplessly annihilated. Of course, the annihilation refers to the material body, not to the soul. Because we learned in chapter 2, the soul can never be destroyed. It's eternal. So when it says annihilation, it's referring to this material body. Yet there is another unmanifest nature which is eternal and is transcendental to this manifested and unmanifested matter. It is supreme and is never annihilated. When all in this world is annihilated, that part remains as it is. So that's the spiritual nature. There is no destruction. It's ever existing. The material world is going through phases. Creation, maintenance, destruction. Creation, maintenance, and cycle after cycle after cycle. Whereas the spiritual abode, ever existing. Text 21. That which the Vedantists describe as unmanifest and infallible, that which is known as the supreme destination, that place from which, having attained it, one never returns, that is my supreme abode. So here Krishna is giving a glimpse into his abode. It's unmanifest and infallible, meaning with material eyes you cannot see. It's there, but we cannot see, therefore it's called unmanifest. Just like now, the sun is setting. In an hour or two, it'll be dark. The Son will not be manifest, but we know the Son is just somewhere else, but it's there. But it's not manifest to us. In the same way, Krishna's abode is there, but we are not able to experience it. We're in darkness. If you want to see Krishna's abode, then you have to get out of the darkness of this material world. But it's there. It's infallible. It's the supreme destination. And when you achieve it, you don't come back to this material world. 22. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is greater than all, that's what it means to be God. The meaning of God is asammordva. No one is greater than you, nobody is equal than you. That's why we're not God. There's somebody smarter than me. There's somebody more handsome than me. There's somebody who can sing better than me. There's somebody who has more money than me. So I know I'm not God. Because by definition, God is that person who nobody is greater than. There's no competition. Nobody is equal to or greater than God. That's the definition of God. He is attainable by unalloyed devotion. So this is not the first time he's mentioned it, even in this chapter. And he will continue to mention this throughout Bhagavad Gita. Only by unalloyed devotion can you achieve God. Not by karma, not by jnana, not by yoga, not by works, not by anything. Only by unalloyed devotion can you reach God's abode. Although he is present in his abode, he is all-pervading. Both we have to accommodate. Yes, he's all-pervading, and at the same time, he's in his abode. Some people think God is all-pervading, therefore he has lost his individuality. Here Krishna is saying no. God is in his abode and at the same time all-pervading. We have to accommodate both. Everything is situated within him. There's nothing non-Krishna. To think something is non-Krishna, that's an illusion. Therefore, we use the word maya, that which is not. To think that there is something non-Krishna, that's an illusion. That is something which doesn't exist other than in my own crazy mind. That's what it means to be in maya. It means to be an illusion. When you are Krishna conscious, you realize Vasudeva Sarvamiti, everything is Krishna's energy. And Krishna still exists as an individual in his abode. And at the same time, everything is Krishna's energy. I give the example so many times. Say I come to your house. Okay? Say one day I come to your house. So while I'm in your house, everything I see, I know, doesn't belong to me. It belongs to you. Yeah, I know. Every Indian says that. When I was in New Jersey, I gave the same talk. And immediately the Indian said, no, Prabhu, everything belongs. Yeah, I know. But the fact of the matter is, everything belongs to Krishna, but he has given you that as your allowance, right? I certainly can't come to your house, oh, I'll take that picture, I'll take this, I'll take that. No, that's certainly rude. And in some place, let's say, right today we had Barack Obama here, right? Just a few feet away. So let's say one day Barack Obama invites me to the White House. So let's say I go to Barack Obama. Okay, I'll take that. I'll take that. What are they going to do to me? Throw this guy out. He's a madman. So in the same way, all these governments, they're all thieves. They're claiming, this is my property. This is my all. No! This is God's property. You have stolen it. It's not Iraq's oil. It's not Exxon Mobil. All these are thieves, big crooks, and they will be punished by Krishna because they're claiming this is mine. It's not mine. United States of Thieves. That's what this country is. This land is my land. No, it's not. This land is your... No, it's not. The better song would be, this land is Krishna's. End of song. I want to hear them sing that song. Not this stupid song. This land is my land. This your land. That makes us like Ravan. And now, let us share it equally. But can there be honor among thieves? That's why there's no peace. They're all thieves, and then they expect, let's have a United Nations. Let's all work together. Behind the scenes, I'm stabbing you in the back. Nonsense. There will be no peace in the world until everyone agrees everything belongs to Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada taught, I know some people don't like to hear this, Prabhupada did not talk republicanism or demon crazy. Prabhupada taught spiritual communism. Yes. Am I right, Archita? Some people, even devotees, don't like this. Communism? Oh no, we can't talk about, we have to be republicans. No. Prabhupada taught spiritual communism. Not atheistic communism. Spiritual communism. What is spiritual communism? Everything belongs to Krishna. Let us share. That's spiritual communism. That's Prabhupada. That's Bhagavatam philosophy. Everything belongs to God. Okay. Let's finish up. Verses 23 to 28. The two ways of passing away from this world. O best of the Bharats, I shall now explain to you the different times at which passing away from this world, the yogi does or does not come back. Those who know the Supreme Brahman attain the Supreme by passing away from the world during the influence of the fiery God in the light at an auspicious moment of the day, during the fortnight of the waxing moon, or during the 6 months when the sun travels in the north. So when, Archita, what is the sun traveling north or south right now? So it's traveling north. So now's a good time. No, I don't want to. I'm not ready. Hare Krishna. The mystic who passes away from the world during the smoke, the night, the fortnight of the waning moon, or the 6 months when the sun passes to the south, reaches the moon planet, but again comes back. According to Vedic opinion, there are two ways of passing from this world, one in light and one in darkness. When one passes in light, one does not come back. But when one passes in darkness, he returns. Now comes an important verse. After saying all this, listen to what Krishna says. Although the devotees know these two paths, O Arjuna, they are never bewildered. Therefore, be always fixed in devotion. So he has stressed this concept many times now in this chapter, devotion, devotion, devotion. In other words, because somebody may think, oh, okay, I got to make sure. Yeah, you can't. You can't figure out when you're going to die. So therefore, the main concern should be, let me be fixed in devotion, so that whenever death comes, I'm ready. That's why we practice devotion now. That's why we chant Hare Krishna now. Everybody, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Final verse of the chapter. A person who accepts the path of devotional service is not bereft of the results derived from studying the Vedas, performing austere sacrifices, giving charity, or pursuing philosophical and fruitive activities. So if you do this bhakti marg, you're going to get everything that everybody else gets. Whatever your result you get from studying the Vedas, the bhakti yogi gets. Austere sacrifices, you get that too. Giving charity, you get that too. Pursuing philosophical and fruit, you get everything. Therefore, you're not the loser by coming to this path of bhakti devotion. Simply by performing devotional service, he or she attains all these, and at the end, one reaches the supreme eternal abode. And what did you call that? Krishna Loka. And it all begins by nicely chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.